From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All the goodness of the past, the present, and the future Christ bestows upon His people. In the mysterious ages of the past, the Lord Jesus was His Father's first elect, and in His election He gave us an interest, for we were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. He had from all eternity the prerogatives of sonship as His Father's only begotten and well-beloved Son, and He has, in the riches of His grace, by adoption and regeneration, elevated us to sonship also, so that to us He has given power to become the sons of God. The eternal covenant, based upon suretyship and confirmed by oath, is ours for our strong consolation and security. In the everlasting settlements of predestinating wisdom and omnipotent decree, the eye of the Lord Jesus was ever fixed on us, and we may rest assured that in the whole roll of destiny there is not a line which militates against the interests of His redeemed. The great betrothal of the Prince of Glory is ours, for it is to us that He is affianced, as the sacred nuptials shall ere long declare to an assembled universe. The marvelous incarnation of the God of heaven, with all the amazing condescension and humiliation which attended it, is ours. The bloody sweat, the scourge, the cross are ours forever. Whatever blissful consequences flow from perfect obedience, finished atonement, resurrection, ascension, or intercession, all are ours by His own gift. Upon His breastplate He is now bearing our names. And in His authoritative pleadings at the throne, He remembers our persons and pleads our cause. His dominion over principalities and powers, and His absolute majesty in heaven, He employs for the benefit of them who trust in Him. His high estate is as much at our service as was His condition of abasement. He who gave Himself for us in the depths of woe and death doth not withdraw the grant now that He is enthroned in the highest heavens."
Thank you.
as Christians contemplate the sad moral and spiritual state of the world around them, many would tend to despair of any hope for the nation. Certainly, the answer is not to be found in governmental policies or social programs. The solution is a spiritual revival. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. Pastor Armand Tamassian, senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, preached a series of messages published in a book entitled Breath from Heaven. In the course of 10 sermons, he shows how revival shaped our past and should change our present. Some of the titles include The Prototype of Revival, The Promise of Revival, and The Prayer of Revival. Let the Bible Speak offers copies of Breath from Heaven free of charge to those who sincerely desire revival in our day. Simply email the church office at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Request your free copy of Breath from Heaven by Armand Tamassian. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Welcoming Christ, part of three views of Christ as the friend of sinners. Luke chapter 15 records three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Each of these demonstrates something of Christ's heart for the souls of men. First, he loves sinners of every kind, regardless of the world's estimate of them. Then the Lord Jesus places great value on a single soul, as portrayed by the one lost sheep, the one lost coin, and the lost or prodigal son. Furthermore, Christ rejoices over each soul who repents. May we seek to bring joy to the Son of God as we seek the lost for His glory. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Welcoming Christ.
Let me tell you, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. None. He doesn't say, well, I picked you up from such vile depths, now I'm going to let you in, but you've got in and no more. No, sir. The only people that the Scripture speaks about as being saved by the skin of their teeth, by the way, and I'm sure it may be, actually, it may become true of others. But the only people who are saved by the skin of their teeth are preachers. Paul makes this very clear in writing to the Corinthians. Preachers who take the foundation of the gospel and on it they build wood and hay and stubble. In other words, they corrupt the church of Christ with false converts to make themselves look and feel good. They have got beyond the gospel. They may be saved themselves. What a day when preachers stand before God. They see the thousands that they have built into large churches drop down into hell. It'd be an awful day. But it's never said of the publican or the sinner who comes to Christ that he's just saved by the skin of his teeth. No, sir. When he's saved, he's completely saved. Utterly saved. It's a full and free and bountiful acceptance. And as the Father in the third parable brings the Son in and spreads the board before him, decks him out with the best that his riches can supply, and feeds with him and feasts with him and fellowships with him and rejoices with him. That's what Christ does to the penitent sinner. Oh, he loves such sinners. But something that is just about always overlooked is Christ's love for another kind of sinner. You know, in the third parable there is a very, very unattractive character. The elder brother. The Lord Jesus makes it clear that elder brother is his description of the self-righteous Pharisees who were condemning him. They didn't need to be saved. They didn't need to repent. And like the elder brother, when publicans and sinners are drawing near to go in, they wouldn't go in. But do you notice this in the parable? That the Lord Jesus even loved sinners like that. The Lord Jesus, by means of this parable, issues an invitation to the Pharisaical elder brother type to come and join themselves to the number of the penitent and to enjoy the feast of his love and his grace. In other words, you look out across a world of sinners. You'll see religious sinners, irreligious sinners. You'll see sinners walking the clean side of the street. You'll see sinners walking the filthy side of the street. Every kind of sinner you can imagine. And if the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us anything in Luke 15, it is this, that with an almighty passion, he loves sinners of every kind. The old, well, it's not such an old, it's a new, fairly new hymn that says, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And it is. Just stop and ask yourself a question today. Where would I be if the Lord Jesus had never loved me? Where would I be if he had waited until I was worthy of his affection? Where would I be if he had set any conditions that I had to fulfill? And the lost, undone, without hope. For you see, though people are slow to recognize it, we're all among the publicans and the sinners. The publicans betrayed their fellow countrymen. We have betrayed our God. The sinners have befouled their own minds and bodies. We have broken the very law of God in every point. And there's not one of us that must not honestly confess every particle of God's law rises up to demand our eternal damnation if left to ourselves. But Christ loved us, set out on a journey from the throne of glory to the cross of shame. Why did he do it? He passionately loves sinners of every kind. Second thing he shows us about himself in these parables is that he places great value on one single soul. Now, sinners were coming to Christ in droves. Yet you'll notice that in the parables, he never speaks of sinners as a number, except it be the 99 sheep who thought they didn't need salvation. He speaks only of the individual. And you know that speaks volumes to me. Salvation must be an individual matter, or it's not salvation at all. Now, once we're saved, we enter into a community, the community of the redeemed. But you can never be saved by your place in a group. Understand that. Salvation has to be one soul at a time. Repentance is a deeply personal matter between one individual and his God. Faith must be exercised one heart at a time. It's individual. But when you stop to think then, a little further, you realize not only must salvation be individual, but the Lord Jesus Christ, in performing all His saving work, not only did it for the entire body of His church, but He did it for each penitent soul individually. That's clear in the parable. He took His journey for the one sheep. He went seeking for the one lost coin. He stood with His eyes searching the horizon, waiting for the return of the one prodigal son. If you want to see the value of an individual human soul, follow Christ as He goes seeking for the one lost sheep. I was reading a great English Baptist preacher who was pointing out some of the mistakes people make on these parables, some of the utter heresy that's taught. For example, that you don't need blood atonement because here Christ talks about these people being saved and there's no mention of blood atonement or anything else. Missing the whole point of the parable, as he was pointing out. And one other thing that people were saying is, well, what kind of love is this? The son went down into the far country and the father just let him go and didn't go after him to bring him back. And he said, did the father not go down into the far country? You take a time of war when men set off to the battlefield and their wives and their sons and their daughters, their little ones are left behind. Their mothers and fathers are left to pray. Is there not a very real sense in which those wives and those mothers and those children in heart and soul go with them and spend every day with them in the place of danger? A lot of truth in that. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ went after the sheep, but not only physically, but in mind and in soul, His whole being has gone out in the identification that only love can make with such unworthy objects. He goes out to save the lost. If you want to see the value of a soul, see how far He went to save an individual soul. Hear His exultant cry, I have found it. Don't rush over that. Here's the one who spoke the worlds into being, who upholds all things by the word of His power. He calls the stars by their name and knows their number. Let me tell you, there's not an astronomer in the world has the slightest clue as to those things. And they never will have. But He knows them all. And if He needed, though He needs nothing, but if He felt He wanted a new galaxy, He can have it. He can make it. I never read of the Lord Jesus saying, I have found a new galaxy. I've cast a new star into space. Not a word of that. But when He gets to the dunghills of this world, and He finds some poor worm Jacob, and He lifts him out of the filth and the mire and the uncleanness. He washes him and He holds him up to heaven. And He says, rejoice with Me, I have found Him. Oh, men and women, that's the value of a single soul. Listen to the music that he conducts in glory. Heaven rejoicing. Heaven singing. The choirs of angels. I and indeed, do we not hear the very voice of the triune God himself? Rejoicing. Why? One soul, one sinner has repented. What value the Lord Jesus shows us for a single soul. And yet how blind we are. There are people, perhaps some even here this morning, you have, indeed you are, a soul that's going to live forever. An immortal soul. The most precious thing in all the creation of God. Understand what I've just said. The most precious thing in all the creation of God. More precious than an archangel. For God never stirred a finger to save a fallen angel or archangel. And having that precious gift, there are some, perhaps you among them, and you've treated your soul with carelessness. You've exposed it to sin and danger. And today it totters on the edge of the burning of everlasting hell. Don't be a fool, man. Don't be a fool. We who are saved are not altogether free from the same kind of folly. We come in contact with immortal souls every day of our lives. And let's be honest. As Christians, in the easygoing life of the West, we have got so careless. We can think more about a man's politics and damn him for his politics, or we can think more about his color and damn him for his color, or anything else. But where is that mighty burning awareness of the value of an immortal soul?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.